sin held me captive to sorrow and pain. Years of frustration as love passed me by, until the master heard my heart's cry. For grace, marvelous grace, I needed grace to pardon. I was downhearted, so broken inside, praying for mercy with nowhere to hide. But there was a soulless searching for.
Welcome again to Pentecostal Voice of Truth. We appreciate you listening, being a part of the program this morning. Just looking for the Lord to touch us and help us through the program. And we want you to be blessed and strengthened by what the Lord does in your life. We're going to look in St. Luke chapter number 18 this morning. Familiar passage of Scripture. I trust the Lord will speak to us from His Word this morning. St. Luke chapter number 18. And we'll begin reading in verse number 9. The Bible says, "He spake a parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not so much as lift his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful unto me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For every one that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted." Notice how Jesus starts this portion of Scripture. Before this, in chapter number 18, when it opens, it's the story of the widow and the unjust judge down through verse number 8. And then when Jesus finishes talking there about the widow and the unjust judge, he speaks in verse number 9, and he says, "He spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others." And then he tells us the setting of the story. Two men went up into the temple. And we know that they both went back down to their house. Verse number 14 tells us about how the publican went back down to his house. It really don't tell us much about how the other one went to his house, but we know they both had to go home after they had went to the temple. One of them went home justified, and the other went home just exactly like he was when he came. Praise God. You can sum this story up, if you want to, with just two men that went to church. And that's about all you get out of the story. But their outcomes were so drastically different that it causes us to pause and take a closer look at the difference of why their outcomes were so drastically different. Amen. We know that he spake this to those that trusted in themselves. They were trusting in the righteousness of themselves. They were trusting that they were good enough to just squeak by. How many times have we heard that? Oh, I'm good enough. I'm good enough. The Lord sees my heart. He knows. And people think that they're going to just skirt by scot-free because they believe that God just knows and believes that they're good enough in their heart. And Jesus spoke to them directly, talked to them, because they despised others and thought they were good enough in themselves. How many times have I run into people just like that? And some of you listening, no doubt, have run into people just like that. When you invite them to come to church or you talk to them about the house of God, their idea is, well, I'm good enough. I don't need to go to church. I don't have to go to church. The Bible don't tell me anywhere that I must go to church. Amen. They say we can just talk to God right here where we're at. We don't need to go to church. We can talk to God anywhere. And they feel like they're okay because of that. Friend, I want to tell you, they're only half right. You can talk to God anywhere. But there is over and over and over in the Word of God, there are things that tell us that we need to be in the house of God when the doors are open. Amen. Well, I hope I don't upset your Sunday morning here. And I'm going to preach to you this morning, if the Lord would help me, for just a few minutes on up to church, down to the house. Up to church and down to the house. Amen. First of all, we see that two men went up to church. They went to the temple to pray. One of them was a Pharisee and the other a publican. One of them was a religious man. And one of them, in the eyes of the world, was an outcast. He was a no good. He was not anyone to be looked up to. He was a publican, the worst of the worst, low down scum of the earth. The other was a righteous man in the eyes of the world, one that walked around proud of his righteousness, walked around feeling that his righteousness would keep him elevated above those that were in the world. There were many things that the Pharisees done that they thought their works would save them. And friend, I want to tell you this morning before I go any farther that you cannot expect your works to save you. Amen. I do believe that there are things that the Christian must do in order to be pleasing to God. There are lifestyles that must be lived in order to be pleasing to God. But your righteousness alone will not save you. It still takes the blood of Jesus Christ to save us from our sins. But once saved, there is things that we do because we believe that the Word of God teaches us that we must do those things in order to live pleasing to God. That's another message for another time. Amen. But I want you to know these two men's paths were drastically different. One of them was a religious guru, if you will, and the other was just a simple publican. Praise God. But they both went to the house of God. I want you to know, friend, that God's house, the true house of God, is open for all who want to come to meet God. It's not limited to just a few. It's not limited to those that have the right last name or have the right social status or have enough money in their pocket to achieve some status in the church. The doors of the house of God are open to everyone that wants to come to meet God. We see this in this story. Even the publican was welcome in the house of God just as much as the Pharisee. The house of God was open, and it's still open to whosoever will, let him come. Amen. We talk a lot about in the religious world about come as you are, but we don't preach to them that you can leave different than you came. I want you to know, friend, the house of God is open to whosoever will, let him come. Amen. God's house is open for those that are in need of help from God. The doors of the house of God are open for business, the true house of God. They are open for business. They're open for those that know they need help from God. I remember my dad is a pastor as well, and I remember in my dad's church several years ago, probably 20-something years ago, there was a woman that came and got saved. And after she had got saved, she told the story of how the Lord had been dealing with her heart for several months. There were different ones in her life that was working with her, asking her to come to church. And she had a desire to get right with God. And she went to a church that was close to her. I don't know who the church was. I don't know anything about it. But I do know after she had came to that church, they told her, "This church is not open to sinners. We don't want the likes of you in this church." I can't imagine how any church would feel like that. And I tell you, friend, the house of God is open to those that want to meet God, no matter how bad they are this morning. Praise God. These two men went up to church. We must see the need of going to church. You may say, well, the Bible don't tell me thou shalt go to church. And I agree, there's no commandment in the Ten or anywhere else that says thou shalt go to church. But there are things throughout the Word of God that lets us know that God strongly suggests, amen, you might not want to use the word commandment, but God strongly suggests that we should frequent the house of God. It's both in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. First, I want to tell you what the Old Testament says about the house of God. You may remember the story of a man by the name of Jacob who was on the run away from God as a young man. He laid down to sleep in Genesis chapter 28. While he's asleep, he has a dream of angels ascending and descending on a ladder that stretches from earth to heaven. And when Jacob awoke from that dream, he said, "Surely the Lord was in this place and I knew it not." Amen. He dedicated that place. He named it as Bethel, the house of God. And then he made this statement, "This is not other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven." Jacob felt so strongly about it on the run, amen, that he believed the house of God was the gate of heaven. It was the place where we make our entrance into the kingdom of heaven. I know you can pray anywhere, you can get saved anywhere, but there's no better place to meet God than in the house of the Lord this morning. Praise God. Also, we find in the story of the children of Israel, when they had that mobile tent, that tabernacle, mobile house of God, if you will, they was moving through the desert on into the land of Canaan with that mobile temple that they picked up and moved. We find out when they set up camp, we can read it in the story of Exodus and Leviticus and Numbers. We can read about how the children of Israel took that tabernacle with them everywhere that they went. It was not a fancy church. It was not a beautiful building. It was just a tent. It was made out of goat hair, sewed together. Amen. But it was the meeting place where God met with man. Praise the Lord. Amen. We find out when they set up camp, God instructed them that that temple was to go into the center of camp. It was the first thing to be set up. When you find out where you're going to camp, when God tells you where you're going to camp, you first set up this tabernacle. That's the first thing. And then there's three tribes that are going to camp to the north. There's three tribes that's going to camp to the south. There's three tribes that's going to camp to the west. And there's three tribes that's going to camp to the east. And every one of those tents that are set up, they are to be set up when you come out of that tent in the morning. The first thing you see is the tabernacle or the house of God. Amen. God wanted his church to be right in the center of the lives of the people. Amen. That was in his land of Israel. I want you to know that's not the way it is in our world. But God meant for our lives to be centered around church. God meant for our lives to be centered around the house of God this morning. Praise the Lord. Not only that, not only do we see Jacob, not only do we see the children of Israel, but there was a man by the name of Solomon that came along. Solomon was the son of King David. David had desired to build God a habitation. And the Bible tells us that Solomon is the one that built that temple. He built a magnificent building, put gold and cedar and precious things in that temple. He dedicated it to the house of, dedicated it as the house of God. Amen. We find out when Solomon prayed that prayer, 2 Chronicles chapter 6 and chapter 7, amen, that the glory of the Lord filled the house of the Lord so that the priests were not able to minister. Amen. Solomon said, Lord, we know the heavens of heavens can't contain you, much less this house that I built. But Solomon said, Lord, we want your presence to be felt in the house of God. And God dedicated that temple with his presence. His glory came down into that temple and sanctified that place as the house of God. We find out that the Queen of Sheba came to see the wisdom of Solomon. And when she gave her testimony, part of the testimony that convinced her that Solomon was everything that she had heard that he was when the Queen of Sheba said, I observe how your servants went up into the house of God. Happy are thy servants. Amen. They was going up to the house of God singing as they went. It was not a duty to go to church. It was a delight to go into the house of God. Amen. I could preach a message on Jacob. I could preach a message on the tabernacle in the Old Testament. I could preach a message about Solomon's temple and what the Queen of Sheba saw. Amen. But in my limited time, friend, I just want to tell you that even in the Old Testament, it was a delight to go up to the house of God. We see King David, a man that loved the house of God. He said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of God. Amen. He was glad to go to church. Amen. He said, Lord, it's better for me to be one day in thy temple, even as a doorkeeper, than 1,000 days in the tents of wickedness. David was a man that loved the house of God. He knew what it was to feel the presence of the Lord in the house of God. Friend, it's not a duty to go to church. It is a delight to go up to the house of God. Amen. Even the Old Testament lets us know that it is a joy to be in the house of God. Praise the Lord. I don't know if I'll get through my message this morning. Time's getting away from us. And I just want to preach and tell you that it is not a drudgery to go into the house of God. It is a delight to frequent the temple of the Lord. Amen. David said in Psalms chapter number 84, amen, it was a song for the sons of Korah. It was a song to be given to those that sung. Amen. I'll not read it all, but the first four verses sum up what I want to talk to you this morning about the house of God. David said, how amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. This word amiable means lovely. David was saying, Lord, your tabernacles are lovely. The house of God is a lovely place. He said, my soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. David understood that the living God was still in the house of the Lord. And it is a blessed thing to go into the house of God when God wants to meet with man. Verse number 3, David said, yea, the sparrow hath found a house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young, even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will still be praising thee. Amen. David understood that those that go into the house of God to meet with God, amen, they will come through their trials. They will come through their tribulations. They will come through their sickness with a song on their lips and a praise in their heart, because they get their strength from the house of God this morning. Praise the Lord. That's the Old Testament. The New Testament's not much different. Amen. It tells us the same thing about the house of God. Amen. I can't go through it all this morning, but Christ came to this world to be the chief cornerstone for the church. In Matthew chapter number 16, the Bible tells us that Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Amen. Psalm 118 tells us that Christ would be the chief cornerstone of the church. It's the stone that the builders disallowed. Amen. But upon this rock, Jesus said, I'm going to build my church. The religious builders, even of his day, didn't want to build on Jesus Christ. But Christ came to lay the chief cornerstone for the church this morning. Praise God. We find out that Jesus was a frequent guest at the house of God. Praise the Lord. Luke chapter number 4, we find it was his custom. The Bible says, as his custom was, he went into the temple on the Sabbath day. Amen. On our Sabbath day, we do just about everything but go to the house of God. Amen. We shop, we eat, we just mow the grass, do whatever we want to do on the Sabbath day. But the Bible still says it's the Sabbath and we are to keep it holy. Praise God. Oh, no, I'm in trouble this morning, but that's all right. Just stay tuned in for a little bit. I'll try to make it better. I want to tell you, it's the will of God. It is the purpose of God for us to be in the house of the Lord on the Sabbath day. It's the Lord's day all day long, and we are to keep it holy. Amen. The Bible says in John chapter number 2 and verse 17 that Jesus went up to the temple and he cleansed the temple. Amen. He went into the temple. He cleansed it from those that were gathered around. He cleansed it from those that were making a marketplace of it. And he said, my house shall be called a house of prayer. Amen. That's what we find in the Old Testament when the writer said, the zeal of thine house, O Lord, hath eaten me up. Amen. God had such a zeal. Jesus Christ had such a zeal for the house of God. He wanted it to be everything that the Bible said it would be. Praise God. It's the will of God for us to go up into the house of God. It's the will of God for us to frequent the house of the Lord. The Bible tells us to forsake not the assembling of ourselves together, and even the more so as we see that day approaching. That day that this verse is talking about is that great and notable day of the Lord, the coming, the second coming of Jesus Christ. And the Bible tells us to forsake not the assembling of ourselves together, and even the more as we see that day approaching. I believe we all, if we've got any spiritual vision whatsoever, I believe we can see that the day of the Lord is fastly approaching. The day of his second coming is at hand. Amen. We must be ready to meet the Lord. Praise God. And that's not all this story in our text tells us about. It tells us that two went up to the house of God. But we know we will not stay in the house of the Lord. It's a place we visit. We don't live there. We don't abide there. It's a place to be the central part of our lives. But we don't stay there. We just go to church. We go to services. And then we go back home. Amen. Their going home was so vastly different. And I believe we need to examine what they'd done while they was in the temple. It's not just enough, my friend, to go to the house of God. There must be something that's done in the house of God that changes our lives. Amen. The Bible says that two went and only one was justified. Praise God. There must be something that happens at the temple that changes our lives. If you go up to the house of God and you come back down and your home is not affected by the house of God, you didn't get everything that you needed at the house of God. The Bible tells us this publican, who was a wicked, vile man, according to what we know about publicans, he went down to his house justified. I know, I understand, even this text bears it out, that a lot of times when we go to church, we see self-righteous people that feel like they don't need anything from the Lord. They just feel like God ought to pat them on the back just for being in the house of God. But Jesus lets us know in this text that that's not the will of God for going to church. Friend, if the hypocrite's keeping you from going to the house of God, I want you to know this morning, the hypocrite's closer to God than what you are. Amen. There's hypocrites in every church. I realize that. I understand that. Praise God. I've been in this long enough to know they're there. But it's not going to keep me from coming to the house of God, because I've read this story right here and it lets me know that even Jesus knew that the hypocrites was going to be in the house of God. Oh, I feel like I'm talking to you this morning. Praise God. Jesus knew that the hypocrite was going to be in the house of God. He let us know the Pharisee was there. He was standing praying thus with himself. He was really just talking to himself about how good he was. But the Bible tells us about this publican who would not so much as lift his head. He knew that he was a sinner and he knew he needed grace. But God lets us know that this publican went back to his house justified because he went to church in the right manner. Amen. Friend, if you'll come to church in the right manner, you can leave justified just like the publican did. Praise God. The tragedy of our services is so many times we come to church, we go through the motions, and we leave the exact same way we came. That's not the will of God. Jesus told us this story to let us know that you could go up to the temple and you could leave different than you came. Praise God. You can go home different than you was when you came to the house of God. We go other places in life. We don't just sit at home and stare at the four walls. We go other places. We go up to work because we know there's something in work that I'm not going to get anywhere else. We've got to have that paycheck to survive. We're not sufficient to survive by ourselves. So we go to work. We work, we get a check, we come home, and we use that to provide for ourselves. We realize we've got to go up somewhere to get something that we desperately need. We go to the doctor because we know we can't handle life's sicknesses and illnesses by ourselves. So we go up to the doctor, we go up to the hospital to keep our health. Friend, it's no different going to church. We go to church because we know there's something at church that I can't get anywhere else. And that is the touch of God upon my life. Praise the Lord. We go to church because we know we need spiritual help for our lives. It is somewhat of a humbling thing to go to the house of God, because you have to realize and admit that there's something at church that I can't get anywhere else. There's something in the house of God that I desperately need. That's why we go up to church and then we go back down to the house. We go up to church to get those things from God that we so desperately need. I realize God can meet with you anywhere. You can talk to God anywhere, and I do. But there's nothing that takes the place of the house of God. I hope you realize this morning. I hope you understand this morning that there is something about the house of God that we desperately need in our lives. Praise the Lord. Let's pray this morning. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for this time that we've had together to share your word. I thank you for what your word tells us about the house of God. I know, Lord, there's absolutely no way in just a few minutes that we can cover everything that your word says about the house of God. But Lord, I hope in this simple message that I preached this morning that somebody has saw their need to frequent the house of God. Lord, if they've been lax, if they've been missing the assembling of themselves in the house of God, I pray you'd stir them to go up to the house of God. If there be someone that's thought they could make it without the house of God, Lord, I pray you'd challenge their hearts to help them to see their need of going to the house of God. We'll praise you for what you've done for us this morning. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. May the Lord bless you, friend.